Wednesday afternoon cheer for the ladies. Chavis Halvavas, Shara, Yichud HaMaisa, Chav Gimel Sivan. Okay. So, we're learning Chavis Halvavas, Shara, Yichud HaMaisa. We're in Perek Hey, and we're going to move on to, he has a very, Mesudar list of things the Yetzer Hara tries to get you to believe or to do. So the first, 7-8 things on the list, we're up to number 2, are the principles of Yiddishkeit. And really, you can have a phenomena, and it's not as, it's rare, Baruch Hashem, but it's not as rare as we would think, that a person could act from and be in from society, because, you know, it works, and it's very nice people, and there's chesed committees, and you have friends, and you have what to talk about when you get together. You can go to entertaining classes such as this one. But inside, they're not really ma'aminim. They're not ma'aminim. They're not ma'aminim. Either they just never gave the matter any thought, which is not good, but it's not bad. It's bad, but in a sin of omission type of way, not in a sin of commission. They never thought about it, because they went to school, or they went to, you know, they never thought about it. They never thought about Yesodos HaEmunah, the foundations of Yiddishkeit. What is it based on? Is it just a list of rules? Or is it coming from a certain, obviously not, it's coming from a certain world view. More than world, it's coming from a certain universe view. It's coming from a certain existence view, how we view all of existence. How we view anything that exists, how we view ourselves, Hashem, there are principles, and maybe there's 13 principles of faith. And this is our belief system, and without getting into, you know, whether it's primarily belief-based or it could be proven, and you have to know it, not just believe it. My point is, though, that what he's going to say, the first 7-8 things on the list, is very, very dangerous. And the Chavis Halvavas is going in order, because, you know, he's going to let this person, meanwhile, you know, keep Shabbos, and daven even, and, you know, be from, but the inside, he's chopping away at the inside. Maybe this is all there is. That's what we learned. That was number 1 on the list. Maybe this is all there is. There's no point, no real point to anything. It makes for a more sociable life. It gives me automatic, you know, it hooks me into a very friendly society. And then when he's finished, when the Yetzer Hara is finished emptying out your kishkes, meaning that it's not based on anything, then he could start working his way slowly into actions. Even if someone will make the claim that this is already a little more philosophy class, which I don't really want to turn this into. Even if someone will make the claim that Yiddishkeit is action-based, not faith-based, it's what you do, not what you believe. You see, that's a very bad way of saying it, and that's wrong. Because you can go through your whole life doing mitzvahs, but if you don't connect, and we said this once before and people were shocked, I think maybe I said it on a Sunday night, if you can go through your whole life doing mitzvahs, and if you don't connect it to Hashem, it's valueless. I'm sorry to say, it's worthless. We talked about that article I sent around from that girl, that she had a frum week. She was frum that week, and it's very good, and it's, you know, it's wonderful because maybe she learned certain lessons about herself, and it opened up certain truths, and she realized certain things about herself that she didn't realize before. But I sent around, I remember, a cautionary note with it, that what she did was ultimately worthless. If you don't believe in Hashem, so there is no value, not even to mitzvahs. So it's true that, you know, we're not faith-based, in the, like, faith Christianity doesn't really demand much of all, other than a belief, and we have a heck of a lot more, if you've noticed. But, and you could say that as we go through the day, there's no specific, you know, we don't have to swear allegiance. We don't, you know, it's only a minute to say the 13 animamins after davening. That, you know, most people don't do it, you know, to declare, I believe this and I believe that. We don't have that. We just truck through life doing things. But the truth is, it's a chavis al vavos, you know. So, but the Yetzirah wants to take away the soul of everything we do. With these, let's say, the first eight things on the list are really emptying out the body from the soul. And if there's no Hashem, or there's no, as we go through the eight things, we'll see, then he doesn't care if you do mitzvahs. He doesn't care. It doesn't have any value. It doesn't have much value. Depending on what number we're talking about, we're still in the heavy duty stuff, like, is there a God?
What about the concept of
Lolishma Bolishma? Lolishma Bolishma is not without God. There's no without God is not Lolishma. Without God, it's pointless. It's being a very good human being, maybe, being an edler human being. There's no mitzvah. The Gemara does not talk about mitzvah shel lolishma. Lolishma just means your motivation is wrong. Okay, so the Yetzirah in these first eight things realize that we're talking about now principles from which all of our actions are supposed to flow. Columbus is going like from the most extreme to the most subtle. Let's say it'll be a list of, I don't know, 30 things. I didn't count it. Let's say there's a list of 30 things. So he goes from the most extreme to the most subtle. I mentioned that already. But the first eight, I'm explaining why the first eight are the most extreme. Not because they're the biggest averus and they're the worst averus, and you get the biggest punishment for them. Although that may all be true, but it's not the point. The point is, it's the fundamentals. And if he can chip away at the fundamentals, then he's won the battle. He's won the battle. If he can get you to either not think about, or not care about, or wonder about the fundamentals, then he's won. So we said, we talked a lot about number one and how amazing it is that the Chavis HaLevavos puts it as number one. Number two is, and remember, he'll constantly repeat that the Yetzirah is sowing doubt. He doesn't have to get you to convert. He just has to plant a seed of doubt. That's what Chavis HaLevavos said before he started this whole journey in Parakeh. And he repeats it by every single paragraph. V'chasha yisyoish, when the Yetzirah gives up. But Rabbi Mlinowitz, Chavis HaLevavos said before, the Yetzirah never gives up. Yeah, he doesn't give up on in general, but he might give up on a certain tactic. If he sees a certain tactic is not working, so he's tireless and he'll quickly try another tactic. V'chasha yisyoish, when he'll give up, misapek, from making you in doubt, from putting you in doubt, oscha bazeh, that there's a soul which is transcendent, and what we do is more meaningful than just what we see and what we experience and what we could feel with our senses. There's so much more. Most of our lives, you know, I'm sorry to say, maybe I'm happy to say, why should I be sorry? I'm happy to say that most of our lives is not our lives. Our lives are a very minuscule part of our lives. which is wonderful, because our lives is not that long. And who wants to exist for just, okay, we'll say 120. You know, we'll give everybody a bracha. Who wants to exist for just 120 years? That's a drop in the bucket. I have much bigger plans. Right? So, Baruch Hashem, that was number one. Number two is Yishtadel, he will try, L'sapek Oscha, to make you doubt, you know, but maybe the world taka just happened. Maybe taka a million monkeys typing away in a million typewriters will produce shakes. Maybe. I didn't say for sure. Maybe taka. Because if there's no Boreolam, and this is after number one. So if you pass number one, so what do I mean there's no Boreolam? It means you believe in ghosts. You believe in the neshama, you believe in spirits, you believe that the body has a transcendent aspect to it, more than the body, in other words, there's a spirit. Maybe you think of it as a ghost, or Holy Ghost, magic, the spirit, the human spirit lives on. You can imagine such things, but it has nothing to do with God, right? So now, even if you, so we said, number one was like to just wipe away any transcendency from what we do. Number two is to wipe away HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say the world is kadmon. And you know, again, we have to be clear. We have to learn the Sheish Mitzvos Tmidios, and we have to be clear what we believe. God is the Borei Olam. That's how we. That's his most. Our most primary exposure to him is as the Borei Olam, although to a Jew it's probably equally important that our exposure to him is as the one who took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the Torah. Okay, having said that, let's go back. He's the Borei Olam. He created the world. Now once you say that, see, this is nowadays, this is what's not talked about in polite society. Where they go like, you know, okay, get that guy out of here, he's talking about God. And no one wants to talk about it, because once he created the world, it means he had a purpose. And what do we do? What does that mean to us? Well, like, why did he create the world for? He's God, he doesn't need anything. So, once you say he created the world, this changes the whole conversation. It changes the whole dialogue. You know, now you're in a different sphere. You're in a different level. You're talking about a whole different thing. Now you want to know what God is. You want to relate to God. He's real. He created the world. Okay, what does he want with the world? What did he do it for? Did he have a purpose? And now you want to find out what he wants from us. But if the Yetzirah can get us to say, you know, the world, there's Aristotle, the world is kadmon, the world always was. What you see always was, everything always was. And what do you mean, who made it, and who made God? Right. So you know who made God, so who made the world? The world, nobody made the world always was. And Chavis Al-Dodah speaks these things out, he's not afraid, because he's very confident that I said, when we learned the original statement of the Chavis Halvavus before he started this whole speech, and he said, all the Yetzirah wants you to do is be Masupik, I said, the way to combat that is to take the challenge and reject just a limp, wimpy, but maybe, and investigate and learn. The Chavis Halvavus holds the root of all sin is ignorance. If I may say so. I mean, there's a lot of other things too, maybe tithes and things, but he can't be ignorant. You have to, because his answer now in all these things is go study and you will realize that you will be convinced that there's a God. And here's what you should learn, and here's what you should study. And that he doesn't, you know, that's the answer. But so that we don't welcome the suffix, but we don't run away from it. If the suffix out there, so we embrace it and we say, okay, let's investigate. What the Yitzhara wants you to do is remain with the Suffolk. Right? You know, he wants to just have that gnawing doubt, and then you know you're too busy. You're too busy to look into it. You're too busy, so you say, okay, you know, it's probably this and probably that. But once you have that seed of doubt, so now you know you want to live the way you want to live. Anyway, Yishtadel Asapik Oscha Baborius Baruch V'Yom Malacha, and he will tell you, or he will make you question. Ki Ha'olam Hazeh Eino Chadosh V'lo Nivra. It wasn't created. If it was created, it had a creator, right? So it always was V'lo Sor Kasher Hu Atah. It was never different than the way it is now. V'lo Yosur Kein, and it won't be different. The world's not coming to an end. It doesn't have a beginning. It is. Vein Dover Mimenu Yoser Rohui Li Yosbore Minivra. That's already a philosophical point. There's no creator and created. Everything's on the same level. Everything is. There's no reason, there's no higher power that created anything. The Ein Dovar Mimenu, and therefore it follows, hand in hand, Ein Dovar Mimenu Chayu Bavodah Zulaso. So you don't have to have reverence for anything. You don't have to certainly worship anything. You don't owe anything, anyone. See, this is now going to clash directly with the Chayu Zalvodas, with the Torah worldview of the Chavis Halvavus, that we could never stop thanking Hashem just for creating us. You see? It's so fundamental. We're not talking now about if you're an apikairos or not. Which is bad enough, you know. Especially if you shecht animals, it's not the best thing in the world. Or if you touch wine, stuff like that. But the Chavis Halvavus' whole approach to our lives as Ovdei Hashem starts with Hashem created us, and we can't even thank Him enough just for that. And life is a series of trying to thank Hashem, because we're wired to feel compelled to give thanks. I say we're wired because Hashem wired us that way. See, there's no innate nature. The Chavis Halvavus spends the whole Hakdama to Chshar Avodas Elokim talking about Akaras HaTov. He means, again, and he talks about how wired we are for it. He didn't know the word wired, he didn't know the word DNA. We could say the word wired and we know, you know, we're not talking about, it's not just a word I'm throwing around, right? We're wired. Scientists now, we're wired a certain way, right? And sometimes there's an imbalance in the wiring and things go awry and things get messed up. But we are wired, we know this constantly. Millions, we learned it Sunday night in Shaar HaBechina, there's constantly millions of electrical impulses traveling within the body. The skin is full of nerve endings and electrical, like this. We are wired. Maybe that's why there's an isenagia, you know, high voltage. We're wired to be, that we feel compelled to give thanks. And Hashem wired us this way. And the Chavis Halvavus spends the Hakdama of the Shaar Avodas Elokim to show that we're wired, that we have to be, that, and we feel compelled, and we feel empty if we're not able to be Makir Tov. And therefore, like, Avodas Hashem is so easy, because it's so, it should be satisfying, fulfilling, gratifying, and it should make us happy, and it should make us smile, and sameach, and which all the Sfarim say, and you go, what? It doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? The missing link is the Chavis Halvavus' whole fundamental point, that we have to do Shaar HaBechina. And if you do Shaar HaBechina, Sunday afternoons, 12:15,
at the Schaefer's home.
New time at the Schaefer home. We're gonna start out that way. Too much change. I can't handle too much change. So we're certainly gonna start out that way. 12:15 in the Schaefer home. Shara Bechina. And if you do it. You don't do it. We learn about it. It doesn't mean if you do it for 45 minutes and trying to stay awake while Rabbi Milinowitz drones on and on and on and on. It means you do it when you take a walk and you look at the sky. And if you don't see, what am I seeing? You say, why is the sky blue? And you start, you know, investigate. It's so easy nowadays. There is a lifetime of knowledge available at a click. It's unbelievable. I don't know what's so funny. It is so easy to do Shara Bechina. It's like, you know, we're going to do now, the next thing is like, what it says in Shulchan Aruch about Asher Yotzar, all the things that have to happen to the baby when it's born, all the systems that have to shut down, there's like 30, I'm doing the research now. I'm up to, there's around 30 systems. There's so much more, but I'm up to the 30 specific systems that have to shut down and 30 systems that have to start working at the moment the baby's born. It happens. And like who like where's the engine? Where's the motor? Who made the Shabbos clock? Like it's really so, but everything's like that. We saw already so many things, life itself and everything. The point is, if we really would do Shara HaBechina, we would understand why doing mitzvahs would makes you happy. Should talk about Simcha. You know, if you the stories about the Chofetz Chaim, the things he did tshuva for were not doing mitzvahs enough besimcha. That's when they overheard him and they took notes, and he constantly, it seems this was a theme of his tshuva, that he wasn't doing mitzvahs besimcha enough. So it doesn't mean besimcha, ecstasy of connecting with Hashem, although it could mean that also, I guess. But according to the Chavis Halvavos, it's the simcha of saying thank you. It's the simcha of showing gratitude. It's the simcha of being able to express, thank you, which we talked about already. Anyway, getting back to this, but if there's no Bori Olam, it's all no creator. So that, and look, he puts it here. So you don't have to. You don't have to worship anybody. You don't have to thank anybody. Everybody's the same. Everybody is here. Shahakol Yoshon Kadmon. Everything was always here. So you don't have to thank anybody. V'chashe yikrecha b'zeh. When you find yourself having such thoughts, right? He's made some inroads. Shuv l'sichlecha. So again, knowledge. It's all a praise on ignorance or on lack of thinking. And he says, Shuv l'sichlecha, get hold of yourself. Take hold of your seichel and allow it, v'yare oscha hefzed hadas hazu, and you will realize the absurdity, the emptiness of such a claim. Now he says, mimaymar hayichud min ha-sefer hazeh. You know, that's all he's going to say now. He says, I wrote a sefer called Chavis Halvavos, and chapter one was Shara Yichud. And chapter one in the Chavis Halvavos' way, which may speak to a person nowadays, may not. That, of course, there's a God. And, he sort of admits in Shara Bechina, Shara Bechina has two purposes. I just said the second one, which is to feel gratitude. His first one is, he sort of admits, you know, maybe chapter one doesn't work for everybody. It's a little heavy. He says, but if you do Bechina and you see how things work and how the smallest motion, the smallest anything is so full of complexity and wisdom and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he said, how can you not believe in God? I mean, right? In the famous Marshall, you've also heard these Mishalim. If you're walking in a desert, you find a watch, which is, what's a watch compared to the world? No normal, sane person would think that it's a result of millions of windstorms over millions of years. So that's what the purpose of Shahar HaBechina is, because he said that's the shortcut. That's like Windows as opposed to Apple. Shahar HaYichud is Apple. Shahar HaBechina is Windows. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's something someone once told me, so it seems to fit. But if you're laughing because I just made an absurd statement, I apologize. Shahar HaBechina is pictures, is visual, it's emotional. You can relate to it. You see it. It's there on the screen in front of you. For Shahar HaYichud, you have to use what's up here, which is much harder. But those who know computers, they like Apple much more than the operating system there.
Rabbi?
Yes, don't ask me what an operating system is. I don't know.
On the first point about the eternity of the soul,
yeah.
Where does he say to look to find answers on that?
He doesn't. I told you that there's a huge, long essay. He just says, look at the Kadmonim. He probably means Emunas Vedeus from Rav Sadia Gaon. And he says, look in Nach, which I told you. But I told you there's a long essay at the end of Mishnayos by the Tiferes Yisrael. A very long essay, which one day we'll learn. See, I want to live past 120. Believe that. And he methodically goes through all kinds of proofs from Psukim. I thought one of his first proofs is that the Torah says if you commit suicide, Hashem will punish you. Like you're dead, right? So what's Hashem going to do to you? Like you can thumb your nose at Hashem because you're dead already, so to speak. So he says, and the Pasuk says it. The Pasuk says, Anochi Edrosh Me'imo. He'll have to answer for what he did. So obviously there's something after death. But there's many, many psukim. He goes through it very methodically, and he talks about logic, and he talks about that. He talks about really the eternity of matter. You know, the matter, even physical matter, never completely gets destroyed. It just transforms into another state. Post came the spiritual.
Yeah.
How can you prove something by using? Then you're already accepting God and Torah is true.
Where are you accepting it? You mean from a pasuk?
Enochanami,
number one was granting you God. I think number one, everything stands on its own. And everything can be answered on its own. You know, and there's very little we can do about the person that just, you know, says, but maybe, and which is what the Torah is trying to do. I really should say that because I'm not really in that field. From what I see, okay, that I could say. From what I see is a refusal to confront, which is almost what we said, is a refusal to confront these questions and to investigate and to see for yourself. Most people want to disconnect cognitive dissonance because they want their lifestyle. And they're afraid. They're afraid they'll have to give it up, and they're afraid they'll, even though history has shown and practical experience shows that the happiest people, in general, the happiest people and the most healthiest, emotionally healthiest people are people who believe in God. I'm not even talking about Judaism now. I'm talking about studies. There's a guy, what's his name? I forget his name, but he mamish did. He's working for 10 years now, because I remember getting stuff from him 10 years ago about people with bitachon being emotionally healthy. But he's tracking people now for 10 years, and he's sending out all these questionnaires. And I keep hearing from him once in a while. I must be on a mailing list. I hope he's a professor by now. I mean, then he was like a second year college student. It's like 10 years later. I forgot his name. I get stuff from him. No, but he's like, anybody would see that. So you say, oh, that's, you're saying that because you were born from and you were fed a lot of propaganda. And so of course you believe that, but what about if you would have been born in Swahili and you would believe that you have to worship the statue? I don't know, I can't answer you. So I thank Hashem every day I wasn't. That's all. Would I have been able to break loose and be like Avraham Avinu and just think and reach certain logical, rational conclusions? I don't know if I would have. I hope so. I doubt it, but Baruch Hashem, I don't have to worry about it. That's all. Okay, so he says, so there he doesn't say much, but there's this long essay. And really, it's the first three blot in Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin. Talks about the eternity of the skull and how do you know, and Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba. Okay. Now he's saying everything's kadmon and there's no God, even if you believe in the soul, but like it's like believing in ghosts and spirits. But if you learn Shara Yichud, and I'm saying you could use other proofs, you can use the Shar HaBechina proof, you can go to the Aruch HaShulchan / of Yaakov Emdin, that the history of the Jewish people is the greatest testimony to the existence of God. You know, whatever works for you. You know, there's all these things work. We're learning now Shar HaBechina, that if you see from the smallest cell to the greatest of the galaxies, you see design and complexity and chachma. It's obviously it's created. That's what he wants to get you up to, that step that there's a creator. Learn Shara Yichud. I'm not, you know, Rabbi Avigdor Miller does not have tapes on Shara Yichud. The Sefer Lev Tov, the restatement of the Chavis Halvava, skips over Shara Yichud. I learned it with the men, and I have tapes of it. It's on the website. I don't know if I did a good job. I did my best. Parts of it are very heavy philosophically, and parts of it, and they don't talk to people nowadays. But some of it is, you know, we're not attuned to those kind of proofs. It's like debating proofs. But, you know, we've moved away from that. Now everything has to be shown and scientific, and I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to see it. But he says there himself. He says, I can't do that with God. I can't make it 2 + 2 = 4. I can only show you it's compelling and it's logical and it makes sense, and nothing else in your life, which is way, way, way less compelling than this, do you treat as a suffix, right? And this is so much more compelling, and the consequences are so much more, and the rewards are so much more, and it's so logical and everything. And he says, but I can't do 2 + 2 = 4 on it. I can't bring it to that level. Why? I don't know. Hashem left a little. You know, there's Bechira. Hashem wanted Bechira. It would be nice if we could always have Maimon Har Sinai. You know, the truth is there is. The Rambam rather doesn't count it as a mitzvah, but the Ramban does. And again, we have a chain of, everybody agrees, we have a chain of Masorah going back to Har Sinai. But according to the Ramban, there's a mitzvah, there's a law not to forget Maimon Har Sinai, which means that just like I could say with a certainty that every single generation from the Exodus told the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim the night of the 15th of Nisan, and like, why would that have ever stopped? And it says they did it the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it says they did it the next year. That's all I need. So like, who stopped? So they did it from then. Maimon Har Sinai, it says in the Torah, what I'm talking about, a very technical thing, if the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah, but it says it in the Torah, but you were at Har Sinai, you saw and experienced Hashem as much as any human is ever going to. They said, we're dying. Moshe Rabbeinu, please, you teach us. We can't we can't bear. We can't bear the experience of Hashem. We can't. So they begged Moshe Rabbeinu to stop. And he listened to them. So it says, tell your children. Okay, it's technically it's not like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Technically, there's no din on Shavuos to sit down and tell the story of Maimon Har Sinai, and every year you tell your children and your children and children is not. But it does say in the Torah, the Ramban does count it as a mitzvah, not to tell your children. He just says it to remember it. But we know, so some people, that, you know, that works. The da, and now he makes a point that is very important. And again, this is Chavis Halvavis. And the Chavis Halvavis says throughout the Sefer that there are mitzvahs that are pure Chavis Halvavis, and then there are mitzvahs that their whole meaning is delayed. And, you know, when we think of Shabbos, we think of so many things, but do we remember what the main thing is? You know, we think of resting, we think of family time, we think of unplugging from the world and plugging into Hashem, and that's all good, and it's all true, and it's all part of the Shabbos experience. And we think of the Cholent, and you know, and really, it's a day when we. I mean, who has that? What other nation in the world has that? It's, you know, no matter what you're doing, you have to stop. I didn't understand they had this thing unplugged for a day, your cell phones or your... I didn't understand that. We do it every Shabbos. Like, I didn't get it. No, I didn't understand what they're trying to say, because we do... That is mamish what we do every Shabbos. So I wasn't sure, like, what the message was. But, okay, that's neither here nor there. The point is, but that's all side benefits of Shabbos. It's all side benefits. The main thing of Shabbos is to, and we gotta do this. And the Chazal Bavis knows what we're saying is not easy. It's not easy because we're living in a physical world and we can't see Hashem and we don't experience Hashem. We don't see Him. We don't feel Him. We can't hear Him. We talk to some invisible power. And everything is pushing us away from that, everything in the world, cause, effect, everything. So he says, you know, every Shabbos you're supposed to recharge the Emunah battery. And we really say it in Kiddush, and we say it in Davening, but, you know, I'm not sure we think about it. Hashem created the world. It's such a simple statement. And our kids learn it in schools, but it's like rote. And then they get older, and they're still rote. This is a problem. I think it's a problem. We got to take all the 13 and 12-year-old girls and 13-year-old boys, send them to re-education camps, and start from first grade again, and teach them Hashem created the world, but now they got some seichel in their heads, and it's going to mean something. It's not just, oh, how cute, let me write you a mitzvah note. Which is good, I'm not, you know. But it's they do it, unfortunately, to only not from people. They have Project Inspire, not Inspire, what's the name? Project Mechanic, new Daniel Mechanic. He does it to schools. You know, that's tremendous. You got to do it. Such an important thing. Anyway, so the Chazal says, that's Shabbos. Hello, good morning, that's Shabbos. Shabbos is combating this Yetzer Hara. And you just pound away. Like, if they put up signs to vote for this guy, and it just, everywhere you go, the sign hits you in the face. Just pound away every week, Hashem made the world. And we say it in Kiddush, and and we should maybe talk about it. And what does it mean? And it's, everything flows from that. Hashem made the world. There's a borei. And that means nothing. And because Chavis Halavos himself says in these few lines, that means we have to worship him. Meaning, in Chavis Halavos' terms, what we have to worship him for? We have to thank him. We have to thank him. And if he created it, he must have had a purpose. Like all the ramifications of there being a creator, we should get recharged with every Shabbos. V'dash, kol ma shitzivso sonu ha-Torah binyan ha-Shabbos, And that's why Shabbos is like kares, and it's the worst, it gets the most severe death penalty. And, you know, now we're living in a world of, you know, it's called a victimless crime. Why should he give me the death penalty? It gets a more severe death penalty than killing someone. It gets a more severe death penalty than many arayos. It's similar to Oved Avodah Zarah. Right? It's similar to Oved Avodah Zarah. Mechal Shabbos is kilu Oved Avodah Zarah. If you're a boomer, Mechal Shabbos, you're considered a boomer. It's the worst. Why? Because you're missing this basic fundamental of the first of the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidiyas. It's not the whole of the first, because it's only part of the first, because he doesn't talk, he'll get to it, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the Torah, and is constantly mashgiach about what's going on in the world. That's all, that first mitzvah is like quite a chunk. it's a lot in there, but it's all included in Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? It's all included in that. And Shabbos recharges our battery in that inyan. It's very chomer. It's very chomer. Because Shabbos is that Hashem created the world. Like what did Melinda was learn today in his shir? I don't know. I mean, we spent 45 minutes and they told us Hashem created the world. I could have sworn I knew that already. But those four words. Those four words have so many ramifications, and you look around in the world today, and that's what's wrong with the world, so to speak. It all degenerates from Hashem did not create the world. And that's why evolution became such a battleground, because the Gedolei Hador saw it not as a scientific attempt to explain creation, because certainly creation had a methodology. Every Rishon says that only at the very, very, very beginning of the first day was the Yesh Me'ayin. Ramban says it explicitly. Everybody says it. The Yesh Me'ayin was only the first day. So that means that other days there was evolution. Nothing just appeared. Hashem didn't snap his fingers and say, "Let there be trees," and there were trees. Doesn't say that. It says, "Totzei ha'aretz desha." The earth should bring out desha. That means that the earth should have something in it that will produce. Desha, that's what it means. Totzei ha'aretz desha. It says v'shortzu hamayim. The waters will produce fish or whatever swims around in there. The earth will produce animals that come out of a primordial swamp. I don't know. Maybe it did. I don't know how many years it took. But the Poskim were very. The Gedolim were very smart. And they knew the consequences of what was being perpetrated by Darwin and his people. That's why they thought Freud was such a big sakana also, and Marx. They saw it as an attack on Hashem the Borei. They saw it as an attack on Hashem the Mashgiach. They saw it as an attack on Bechira. So now, you know, now we're real smart, and we could say, you know, maybe it's true, but it doesn't necessarily have to be apikursus. You know, that's true. Don't tell anybody I said that. I still have daughters to marry off. But it's true, you know, we're smart in hindsight. It's like saying, I love Eretz Yisrael, what's wrong with Zionism? But anybody with seichel sees, I think, in my opinion, and there's no one that's more in love with Eretz Yisrael than I am, but you see now that the Zionistic enterprise was to uproot Torah from Klal Yisrael. Whether it was hijacked, Herzl, whether he meant well, there's a book written, I forgot who wrote it, by the Shalom Institute, that Herzl was okay, it was Hebrew University that ruined everything. Or Moshe Feiglin says that Herzl was also not okay, it's an enterprise born in sin. But the Satmar Rebbe was right. I mean, we see that, and we see its collapse, just like communism collapsed. So Baruch Hashem, there's no more Zionism either. It just collapsed. I don't know where. It collapsed between Oslo and Gush Katif. It somehow collapsed. It's not around anymore. Baruch Hashem, like communism's not around anymore. So, but the Gedolim saw it as that. Smaller-minded people saw, you know, it has one of the Meraglim. This week's parsha is the Meraglim. Why are we so silly? We don't want to learn from the past. It says in Rashi, good old Rashi, if you just say sheker, no one's going to buy it. You got to say a little emes, and then people will buy the sheker along with the emes. So yes, evolution has some emes to it, and Freud certainly has some emes to it. And Marx has emes to it, and everything has emes to it, but everybody bought into the sheker. And the Gedolim were clever enough, smart enough, because they have Das Torah, and they understood Zionism. Of course it has good elements. We're the ones that kept saying three times a day for thousands of years. Nobody has to lecture to us. But, you know, the enterprise was hijacked by not well-meaning people. And in Lenin's words, there's always useful idiots who help along the bid by saying, oh, you know, it's good, you know, we should help it. Hashem has his plans. Hashem has his plans. So it happened. Now Zion, we have Eretz Yisrael. It's amazing. We have Eretz Yisrael. We have cell phones. We have running water. We have trains. We have an infrastructure to give people jobs. It's like amazing. And then Hashem said to the Zionists, have a nice day. I don't need you anymore. Why did he ever need them? These are already the inner workings of history. We don't know. We don't know exactly why. We can speculate. There's Hester upon him. Holocaust. I mean, you know, this could become a whole discussion in itself. And I forgot my whole point here. But it has, evolution. Now, if we have a firm belief system and we're safely ensconced in our emunah and it's very strong, so then you could say, listen, I got no problem with evolution as long as the day Mishter was running it, as long as Hashem maneuvered it. And was it 6 days or 6 billion years? I don't care. It doesn't matter. Judaism does not rise and fall if the first 6 days were 24-hour days or they were 6 billion years, 600 billion years. Who cares? It doesn't matter. What matters is Hashem created the world. And from when Adam HaRishon was created, and that first Shabbos entered in, that's when history starts, that's when the world starts, that's when there's 24 hours in a day. I don't know what happened Friday. The Medrash says Adam was created, Chava was created, they got married, Cain and Hevel were born. This is all in the Medrash. Cain and Hevel were born, they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they're getting chased out, Cain killed Hevel. You know, you think your Fridays are hectic. I mean, that was some day. That was some. I'm not making fun of the Medrash, but obviously, it was. I mean, to me, like, don't tell me it was 24 hours. We don't know. You know, we don't know what happened the first 6 days. So forget about it. It doesn't matter. What matters is that there's a Borei. There's a Borei, and that's all that matters. How he decided to do it, we know from the Rishonim. That he didn't snap his fingers and say, there should be fish and there should be animals. We know that. The Pasuk says not like that. Totse Oretz, Chayas Oretz Lamina. What the heck does that mean? Animals don't grow from the ground. What does it mean, Totse Oretz? What does it mean? Words of the Chumash. It means something. I don't know what. Does it mean evolutionary process? I don't know. People smarter than me have ideas and thoughts. you know, I don't care all that much. It doesn't matter to me. I know I'm firm that there's a Borei Olam. I don't care how long the first 6 days took. I know that recorded history started after the first Shabbos. After that, 24 hours a day. That I know for sure. And that's it. That's all. It matters. And then the Chumash, that's all. When the Chumash starts making the Cheshbonos, Adam lived this long, and this generation followed that generation, and then it was Yetzias Mitzrayim and Yaakov Avinu. There's no right. Okay, there's a missing 100 years sometime. Rav Schwab talks about it. Right, there's a missing 100 years sometimes after the Churban Bayis Rishon, I think, or Sheni. There's some missing 100 years in history that disappeared somewhere, got swallowed up. I don't know. The historians talk about it. I'm not saying big chidushim here. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But they talk about it, and it's discussed, and there's speculation, and what happened to it. You know, the timeline doesn't work. There's like 100 years missing somewhere. But the Ikar is that there's a Borei Olam. It really says a lot. It's like Hashem created the world is it. That's it. You know, everything flows from that. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.